Welcome back. The entire world's focus was on one of the most anticipated elections in recent times, the election in the United States, with a big question for literally billions around the world, because when America votes, it's not just the United States that looks at this very carefully, the entire world does, is what happens next. When will Donald Trump be out? When will the legal cases end? When will these allegations of evidence of widespread electoral fraud come to an end? Joining us, Thomas Friedman, it's wonderful to speak to you, Mr. Friedman, columnist and a Pulitzer-winning author. Could you tell us a little bit about where you believe the situation presently stands in the United States? Do you believe that the legal challenges are now essentially on their way out, or do you see this being a protracted battle?
Well, in one sense, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is the legal challenges are being exhausted because we're getting these recounts in different states. We're getting court cases, and the court cases are all being thrown out as bogus. And the recounts don't appear to be changing any of the results materially in any way. That's the good news. We conducted a free and fair election in the middle of a pandemic. Quite amazing. The bad news is now that that's been exhausted, the Trump administration, led by the president right now, is just trying to get states with Republican parliaments, basically, to overturn the results, even though they went against him. John Avalon, writing in CNN today, I think put it quite starkly. It's now Trump versus democracy, and every American, every friend of America, has to ask, which side are you on? We're at a code red challenge to our democracy right now. I don't know where recounting ends exactly and a real threat to our democracy begins, but we're very close to that line.
How much longer do you actually see this going? It seems unclear from all accounts. What would it take for Donald Trump to actually leave the White House?
Well, fortunately, there's one good thing we have in America is that when his term expires on January 20th, he has to leave. So it's not like if the system somehow hadn't produced a result, the current president has to leave. So that's the good news. And I don't believe the army would step in to protect him. But do you realize how bizarre it is that we're even talking about these kinds of things? People in India need to understand that democracy is under threat in America. We have a president utterly without shame. He is backed by a party utterly without spine, and he is amplified by a media ecosystem utterly without integrity. This is the greatest threat to American democracy ever, E-V-E-R, ever.
A lot of people, Mr. Friedman, over here in India, we are the world's largest democracy, and we have, of late, in the last several elections now, possibly the most robust election system. We have electronic voting machines. They work wonderfully. By the afternoon, we know who's won and who's not. And the challenges are few and far between. Every effort to try and tamper with these machines has failed. So a lot of people over here have had one question. Why does America not adopt smarter technology during elections?
Yeah, it's a very good system, a very good question, excuse me. And it's partly due to the fact that how you actually conduct your voting and count your voting is a state matter under the American Constitution. It's not a federal matter. And so different states use different systems. Some use the kind of electronic system you've talked about. Some use mail-in ballots. It's simply a quirk of our system. But I think the thing to really focus on, and again, it's a very good question, is how remarkable it is that despite, in some ways, 50 different systems, there's been zero evidence of any tampering. Zero evidence of any fraud of any systemic nature. The votes that have turned up in recounts, a couple hundred, a couple thousand here or there, turned out to be entirely because of human error, not planted by one side or another. And so the system has worked in a remarkable way. In fact, there's only one good thing about going through this whole recounting process is that Americans are seeing, wow, this system worked. What Trump is talking about is nonsense. We actually conducted our biggest election that is more people voted than any time in American history.
Yeah.
And we did it in the middle of a pandemic. And again, in our system, it's your neighbors who volunteer to run the polling places and count the votes. And the real story is America just had its most amazing expression of democracy in its history.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump has tried to soil this because he wasn't elected.
Yeah. Mr. Friedman, at the same time, is it not true that Trump, his beliefs have had a resounding impact in America, even in these elections? It's by no means a landslide. And a lot of what he said has made a profound impact on the minds of voters. This wasn't an election it wasn't a referendum on COVID, for example. It wasn't a referendum on race rights. It wasn't a referendum to a lesser extent on, say, China or how America handles it. It was on a bunch of issues, the economy perhaps. But people tended to believe, large numbers, that, you know, Trump was right. Would you say that the impact of Trump is going to last? Those values?
Hard to say. I mean, there's no question. Some things are true, even if Donald Trump believes them, you know. And he touched on some very important issues that people feel very strongly about. How much should we lock down in a pandemic? That's how much we focus on saving jobs, and how much do we focus on saving lives? Why people feel very uncomfortable, lots of Americans, about this whole epidemic of political correctness in America, where you can't say certain things. Do you buy defunding of the police, and do you buy a notion of democratic socialism in America? Those are all very emotive issues in this election. They're very real issues. And our country today is deeply divided over those issues.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is a very effective politician, maybe one of the most effective populists in American history.
Yeah.
All that is healthy. What is not healthy is that when the election is over, you claim it was rigged just because you didn't win on the basis of no evidence.
Right. What sort of impact has Kamala Harris had on these elections? Obviously, here in India, there's a great deal of interest given her roots. But has she really had a big impact on, say, the black population in the United States, the Latino population? Why was Barack Obama required to campaign in the manner in which he did?
Kamala Harris, I wouldn't say had a big impact, truthfully. She certainly didn't have a negative impact. She is part, I will say, as a Indiophile myself, of the amazing contributions Indian Americans have been making to our society. I think that's sort of the real trend she's part of, you know. The fact that, you know, Workday and Google and Microsoft and Adobe and all these companies are now run by Indian Americans. I think both appropriate and kind of cool that we now have a vice president who's an Indian American. I see her more in that trend than speaking to any specific, you know, black-white issue. And I just think it's an amazing, a testament to the contribution of Indian Americans to American culture and business and society today. And I look forward to seeing her as vice president and how she can, you know, advance Indian American relations. I want all of Indians to come to America. They make such an amazing contribution to our society.
One final question. A lot of people would say, and perhaps you disagree, that the bedrock of India and America is our strategic equation now. Others would say that it's democracy itself which is the bedrock. But if you were to assume that the strategic equation is really fundamental now, would you say that it doesn't really matter to India or to Washington, for that matter, which government or which party comes to power? The India relationship, seen through the prism of that strategic equation, will always be the same?
It's a very good question. And there's no doubt the strategic equation has risen in importance because of the shared perception of the need to balance China. But that said, the glue is still the fact that, you know, we're the world's two biggest democracies that are committed to free ideas and free people and free elections and free markets. And I wouldn't tamper with that glue if I were either country, because the strategic relationship would never be what it is if that glue erodes.
Right. Mr. Friedman, it's wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thanks very much indeed.
My pleasure.